Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Hey folks, welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything in the sun relates to you having a happier, healthy relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us today. You know what? I really want to thank you all for sharing with your friends, family, and associates, because it's really helped the show grow. And we know we're getting out a lot of wonderful information because we're getting a lot of feedback. If you would like to provide feedback or a topic that you'd like to hear about, go to viewers at savingwithsteve.us. With that, folks, we're going to start talking about how to avoid summer spending traps, specifically with rental properties. And today we're talking with Tiana Heath. She's a National Apartment Association. She's a Senior Manager of Industry Relations. Tiana has a 17-year career with multifamily property management, residential operations. You know, we're going to talk about choices you can make as a renter that can lower your utility bills, manage variable expenses, and more, especially, you know, if you're renting either if it's your first rental, your family, you want to be a lifelong renter, whatever the case may be, we've got a lot of information for you that's going to make a difference in your life. And you know what, Tiana, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. This is wonderful.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so thrilled to be here.
Yeah, we're really glad to have you. We had over, when we have over a million listeners, and when we get 50 or 60 that actually respond to a topic, we know it's a good one and everybody wants to hear about it. So that's why you're here. And we're just really, really grateful. But you know what? Let's start talking about renting. Everybody feels a different way, but let's talk about how renting can offer, you know, predictability and some financial clarity for people who are looking to do that.
Well, the first thing I'll say about renting, and as someone that was a homeowner and has recently started renting again, there is so much predictability around renting that I had almost forgot as being a homeowner previously. There's nothing like being able to have a balanced and knowable rent, and then also being able to look at those other things like utilities and things of that nature that can creep up on you. But if you're paying attention, you can really manage your budget well, and you'd be surprised what kind of savings that you can actually have.
Okay. So now when we talk about savings, there's, you know, the focus for the summer is obviously on managing variable expenses, and obviously not with the craziness that's going on with the housing right now. But can you touch on that for us, please?
As far as my favorite tips, when I'm looking about lowering utility bills, especially during the summer without sacrificing that comfort, is absolutely adjusting your thermostats. And pro tip, never turn off your AC. Just adjust it up when you are leaving and adjust it down when you come home for more comfort. I also like to look at limiting my water usage. I know it sounds cliche, we've all heard about it before, but you'd be surprised what a $10 to $20 spike in your water bill can really do to your budget. And so when you think about it, just make sure that you are really thinking about when you're using your water and how you're using it. Another hidden gem is changing your filters. I know it sounds very adult, but
let's talk. What kind of filters are, you know, you got to remember, renters aren't the most handy people in the world sometimes. So what are we talking about filters there?
So first and foremost, your AC filter. When your AC filter is dirty, it actually does not particularly help your AC perform at its peak and optimal usage. So when you do change that filter, I've had residents actually comment like, oh my gosh, I can feel my air again, or oh wow, that was a real change. And I'm like, yes, because it's flowing through and it's absolutely a necessity. Another thing that I really like to do is closing my shades when I'm gone. Once again, this seems super practical, oh, everyone knows, but it's a great reminder that direct sunlight heating up your home can make a real difference, and it makes your AC work harder. So shut those shades and keep it cool. And last but not least, use fans. And if your home doesn't have fans on the ceiling, make the $35 investment and buy that fan. I don't know about you, but come summer, I'm going to want that stationary, good fan that's blowing that cool air.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter whether you're in a rental or a house. You got to have fans. It just makes life easier.
Absolutely.
So what else is there?
Well, I also really like to think about where I'm overspending and kind of what are the things that really come up when using energy. And what I noticed was I wasn't changing my habits. I mean, there is an ebb and flow every day when you're using utilities. And when you can make small changes like the ones that I just mentioned, it really can be tracked month over month over your bill, and you start to see the savings. I also, and this is crazy to say, as long as I've been in the industry, I didn't really understand how utility usage and increases happen on an annual basis until I was a property manager. And I started reading my bill really closely and realized that the utility company actually does tell you, hey, your electric usage is going to go up by 5 cents or 3 cents or whatever. And I didn't really equate it to, oh, that means my bill is actually going to change. So as I started becoming just a little bit more savvy on reading those utility bills and really tracking things, I started to notice the difference. And then as I apply the things that I mentioned previously, I was like, okay, and now I see it going back down. So it's really about knowledge. And obviously, knowledge is power.
So let's talk a little bit about that utility bill. When you say 3 cents and 5 cents, people go, oh, 3 cents, 5 cents, whatever. But what does that really mean when something like, for example, the actual energy costs go up 3 to 5% per unit?
Exactly. So now we're getting into really understanding your bill and understanding that usage, wattage, and some other really interesting things on the bill. But like everything, it adds up. If you cut out your $5 latte daily and then you look at your budget over the next month, you see the difference. You see the notice. And it is no different when looking at your bill and looking at those 5 or 10 cent increases per kilowatt. It really makes a difference.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing. You say kilowatts. So if you have 100 kilowatts and you have 5 cents on them, you're looking at $5. So when you're looking at an electric bill, that's $100, that's a 5% increase. So you really want to pay attention to those. I actually understand that. I've lived it.
Me too.
So one of the things that many of our listeners emailed in is they started talking about the amenities that the rental complex or the property has, and how some of them, for example, have gyms. Mm-hmm. But people are paying anywhere from $30, $50 to $100-some-odd a month for a gym, and yet they have one in their rental facility, and they can say, hey, okay, that's something I'm not getting somewhere else. Or I'm, you know, can I reduce that cost? Or is it a good, you know, a good way to reduce the cost? Would you encourage people, if they're gym people or whatever amenities, things they like to do, see if that apartment building would have those type of amenities to suit them and maybe reduce their costs in other areas?
That is probably one of the top things that I would absolutely recommend. So many communities out there really offer all sorts of benefits, and a lot of time those benefits are even better or more cost effective than what you might find just as an individual consumer. And so, yes, whether it's a laundry pickup or a dry cleaning pickup or your pool or, absolutely your gym membership, all of those things really can add up and make a difference. And like I mentioned, a lot of times you're getting a better price than if you were to just drop your dry cleaning off in a standalone space. So to me, look at those things. They can be huge.
Well, then I just think about it. If they're doing a dry cleaning pickup and you're getting a deal because hundreds of other people are using the same service. So if they only have to pick up at one spot, that's not so bad as opposed to 100 spots. That saves them gas. It saves them all sorts of things. So I can see how that could be a big benefit, especially moving forward. Hey, folks, you want to stick with us? We'll be right back with Tiana and Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show on UK Health Radio.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, again, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. I want to thank you for joining us, sharing us with your friends, family, and associates, and let them know about the show. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful insight on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal financial freedom. Also, you can follow us on our Facebook page at Saving with Steve Sexton. There's an insiders club. You can get guests, gifts, the whole shot. But let's get back to Tiana, where we're going to be talking about avoiding the summer spending traps. We're also looking at renting. And this is a really big thing because, you know what, a lot of people, they take the summer months to find a new place because they've just gotten out of college. They're moving for a new job and all those type of things. But you know what? A lot of times people just don't know what to look for. They're just going from one place to another and see if it has the room or whatever, if the rent's right, and so on. But there's a lot more they need to take a look at. And then, you know what? There's the process of getting approved to moving in there. And then there's tips of, hey, what would be the smart thing to do if you are moving in there? So, Tiana, could you help us with that? You know what? Let's just start with, what are the things people should be looking at if they're looking to become a renter at a new building? What are the questions they should be asked? What should they be looking at? Those type of things are really, really very important to our listeners.
I love that question because there are so many things that really go into choosing your new home. And that's exactly what you're doing. You are choosing to put all your stuff in boxes and move. And that is not something that we take lightly. A matter of fact, it can be very disturbing to your way of life and kind of what you're doing. So as someone that is actually looking to move again in a very popular metro, I do have my checklist. And first and foremost, how can I avoid lifestyle creep? And how can I make sure that this property aligns with everything that I'm looking for? Of course, we all have the checklist. We need the big closets. We need the gourmet kitchen. We need this and that. And those are all really good questions. But one of the first questions I start with is, how far away is it from my work? Because I do commute. And how far away are you from the things that you normally do? Because nothing's worse than moving to a new area and realizing that all the things that you love to do are 30, 40, an hour away. That is only going to increase your budget across the board. So I start with, where is my real central location and is it right for what I want to continue to do? Now, the next thing that I look at when I go to a community is the different amenities, because I do want to understand, can I cancel that gym membership because this gym has all the equipment that I want? Or can I maybe cut out going to the YMCA or a place that has a pool because this has an Olympic size pool and we're good to go there? Do I have spaces to socialize and entertain? That's another big one. So many of these communities have such vibrant amenities that a lot of times you really can cut out some of the ways that you might spend money and still maintain the social lifestyle that you're looking for. So those are just a couple of things that I start off with. And then, of course, You know, you have to look at the space. And this actually goes back to utilities and cost saving as well. I actually moved here from a Midwestern city and I owned a three-level townhome. My utilities were quite high. When I came here and I realized, oh, this two-bedroom apartment that is quite literally, let's say, 700 square feet less, it's less to cool, it's less to heat. The utilities really did go down and it made me more comfortable raising my budget a little bit because I knew, hey, I'm not going to have to heat or cool 1,500 square feet. And you would be surprised what that difference is.
Oh, yeah, I know. and I was just thinking about that. You know what? When you have older buildings, I'm like 20, 30, 40 year old buildings, you have different heating issues and air conditioning issues as opposed to new buildings with the new codes. Is it smarter from a heating and air conditioning standpoint to have a newer building or an older building? Is that something people should be looking at?
I think it's a question, but honestly, both have their pros and cons. So I managed a building that had a boiler chiller system, and you would be surprised how efficient it was. You do give up a little bit of that control. Of course, you do have a normal working thermostat in your home, and you can adjust it, but it is a little bit different than your modern unit. Mm-hmm. Another thing that I really think about is shearing walls, funny enough. And so shearing walls actually can reduce your utility costs because as a collective, you are heating and as a collective, you are cooling. I happened to make that mistake personally when I moved into a brand new building and I was the only person that was living in the building of 10 units. I saw my utilities raise a little bit and I was like, oh, I wonder what's going on there. Well, funny enough, as people started moving into that building, my utility costs went down because we were collectively heating and cooling and we were actually sharing that a bit. So there's so many different variables and I think it's all what matters most to you. But there are definitely things to think about while looking for that new home, whether it be a little bit older or brand new.
Now, here's a question. This is for a couple of moms asking, and they're saying, you know what? My son or daughter is just out of college. They're 22, 23. They're looking for a rental place. What kind of questions should they be asked if they're looking to find their people? And what I mean by their people is people within a 10-year age gap of them, not somebody who's way older or something like that. So, because they're looking to possibly have a social aspect to where they live.
Absolutely. So I think of this in kind of two different ways. The first thing that I would think about is, hey, is this a mixed use community? And yes, that is a formal term, but really what it means is, are there shops? Are there shopping? Is there a coffee shop on the bottom level of the building and then apartments above it? And that used to be something that you would only really find in the urban core. Well, no longer. You can find those truly in any neighborhood. And so that is the first kind of indicator of what a demographic might be and who you might run into. I also recommend going to the building or going, especially if it's a mixed use building, go there at different times of the day and see who you might bump into. That's another great indicator of who is frequenting the area. Now, the other thing that I think about is I will ask the property manager or the leasing agent that's giving me a tour, hey, what kind of community events do you host? Because so many of these communities are hosting mix and mingles, wind down Wednesdays, summer pool parties and things of that nature. That can also help you kind of understand the vibe of the community. And a lot of times they'll let you come, even if you're a prospect, just to kind of scope it out and see how it feels. I always recommend wherever you are thinking about renting, go there a couple of different times during the day and really scope it out and make sure that you feel comfortable during those different time frames, because that really will give you a sense of a test drive before you move in or purchase.
You know what? I just was thinking about this. You brought a flashback from way back when. But when I was, I got moved, like transferred into the San Diego area, and I started looking for places. And the thing that really hit me about this place is, one, they have a very vibrant pool thing going on, but they also had like a movie night, a wine tasting night, a like multiple social events where people got to know each other and all that kind of stuff. After being there a couple months, I found out I saw old high school friends and stuff like that, and it turned into a big party. But if it wasn't for those things, I'd be in and out of my apartment, and that's it. So we've talked about what to look for, how to find your vibe, how to find your people. Now we're talking about, okay, we want to move in. This is my place. How do I put together that application, Tiana? And, you know, how do I put it together for the best opportunity for success so I can be accepted into the apartment place that I want?
So I think actually the first thing you want to do, and this is made much easier nowadays, is you can normally see requirements. You can see the application itself and the things that you're going to need to gather all online. And online leasing has changed the game when it comes to being prepared and feeling confident when you are filling out that application. I just did this exercise recently with my younger sister. And so we looked at the places, we mapped everything out, and then we sat down and looked at the application together. And I was able to give her the tips and tricks, and I was able to give her the opportunity to take a look at the application. I'm like, all right, you need to get your license. You're going to need that information. Okay, let's make sure that we fill out the application thoroughly with where you've lived before. Let's grab the information of your current property so you can fill that in properly. Here's a big thing. If you're moving from apartment to apartment, make sure you put in your notice. Nothing's worse than finding your perfect home and thinking that you've picked your perfect move-in date and then realizing, oh, I have to give a 60-day notice. Now I can't move. And so it's those type of variables and thoughts that absolutely go in to finding that perfect home and then being able to acquire it. Another thing I like to look at, and this is something that's really been going on lately, is a lot of places will give you a move-in estimate calculator. So that way, you know up front what there might be amenity fee, there's typically application fee, what your deposit might be, and then what your prorated rent might be, which essentially, just so we don't lose anyone, whenever you move into an apartment, you typically pay from the day that you move in to the end of that month. And then depending, you might also need to pay the next month up front. A lot of these guidelines and principles are clearly displayed and explained on the application, but those are all things to think about just to ensure that your budget is not only going to fit month to month, which is huge, but also that initial move-in month, where you typically can incur a couple of costs.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. So here's a question. Mm-hmm. When this is my curiosity for sure. You know what, for a good portion of my early career, I rented before I owned. Mm-hmm. But what are the things that besides your credit, possibly your driver's license, because they don't want a crazy person, and all that kind of stuff. What are the things that they actually check? I mean, will they call you, hey, if you rented, like there's a period of time where I was traveling around developing businesses, and probably every 6 months I was at a new rental place. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I started to stick to the national companies because they would have my information and I wouldn't have to wait so long before I'd have to move, because typically I would know in 30 days that, hey, you're leaving this place and going to this place. And you know what, that type of thing. But what, you know, what when they start checking somebody's background to make sure they want, you know, they're okay with that person moving into the apartment, what are they checking?
Unfortunately, that is a moving target. And truly, it's going to depend on your management company, your jurisdiction, the state that you're in, and so many other variables. So all I can truly say is when you are interested in that apartment and you're like, yep, this is going to be my new home, talk to the leasing agent, talk to that property manager, and look on their website. Because as I mentioned, a lot of times, they will explain what they're looking for. They will explain their process. And if you have further questions, That's what your leasing agent's for. They are there to guide you through the entire process seamlessly and answer all of those questions that can keep you up at night. And I can say this confidently because that's how I started in the industry, as a leasing agent, helping people through this process.
Okay, so let's talk about helping some people through the process. We all know that sometimes when people rent, whether it be a small place, whatever, it doesn't go well, either because maybe we got somebody who didn't behave properly, or we have a landlord that didn't behave properly. How do you explain stuff like that so people know up front so they're not shocked?
So once again, it's one of those things where each situation is handled properly. And yes, there is a system that we absolutely follow, but we also want to treat people as the individual. So once again, that's going to be one of those conversations that you want to have with either your leasing agent or your property manager, and explain the situation so they have a full idea of what's happening. But at the end of the day, it is always a process. And put your best foot forward.
Oh, I agree. I'm not trying to give advice, but you can probably respond to this. It always be best to tell somebody up front. Am I correct in that?
Absolutely. I think honesty is the best policy. And then you can navigate the situation from a place of understanding versus having something pop up later in the conversation. And then you feeling like, man, why did I possibly waste my time? So definitely have the conversation. They, to their understanding, they will, I believe, give you guidance. But once again, it is always just guidance, and you never really know the true outcome until you go through the process.
Okay. And here's a question. The reason why I'm asking this and going down this little rabbit hole is because we've had a few questions. Okay.
Sure.
And some have said, hey, a lot of renting is very, there's a lot of legal laws, things that landlords have to follow and things like that. Is there a situations where the landlord can say, okay, based off what happened at your last place, we would like to get a larger deposit or a security deposit or something like that? Can that occur?
Absolutely. So a lot of times, and once again, you got to be checking their website. You have to check what they have publicly published. But yes, a lot of times there is a range of deposit scale. And that's something that you can verify with, once again, your professional leasing agent, where they can give you those different type of scenarios based on what that property management company's criteria and standards are. Now, they do vary. Not all properties will do that, but all of them will let you know what their process is and if that's something that is possible.
Okay, that's perfect, because a lot of people are asking that because they keep hearing about, like, you know, in my state of California, there is a lot of landlords are regulated to the hilt. And I just wanted to say, you know, make sure with the questions that were being asked that people know that, hey, look, you know what, if you let, there's a few comments that have come online where people have said, you know what, I had a really bad situation at my last place with actually a neighbor, and they were very sensitive to noise and everything, and they did it to everybody around them. But for some reason, since they were across the hall, it became a big thing. And police were called and all that kind of stuff. And basically, they were worried because they're about to do the move. Hey, you know what? If I offer, hey, I'll be more than happy to pay a larger deposit, but I'd like to move here, that type of thing. But again, it's up to the landlord if what they're going to allow them to move in.
Absolutely. And when you have those type of conversations, they will let you know what's feasible, what's possible, things of that nature. They will be very clear with how the process can play out and what avenue might work best for you.
Yeah, no, I understand. I understand from the landlord standpoint, you know what, you say okay to somebody and you're like, okay, we got them for a year. at least. And we're going to have to go through a whole bunch of stuff if we want to say goodbye after that or before that year. And we don't want to do that. So I totally get it. Hey, folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with more Saving with Steve and Tiana Heath.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show on UK Health Radio.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio.
So folks, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that leads to you having a happier, healthy relationship with money. Again, my name is Steve Sexton. Thanks for joining us. We have Tiana Heath. She's here. She's a senior manager for the National Apartment Associations. She's been talking to us through how you can save money. How can you create consistency and stability as a renter? She's been talking about the things you need to look at when you're moving in and, you know, not just moving in, but the things you need to look at if you're looking at a place, applying for that place. And now we're going to be talking about what do I need to do to prepare for moving in? A lot of people just think, oh, I got to get my stuff and move. But it's a little more than that, isn't it?
Just a little bit.
So just kind of walk through the steps, you know, starting at, hey, I just put out my 30-day notice and I did it with a smart time. So I know I'm not being delayed. And now I have to get prepared to move and I'm moving into a new property. What are the things that I need to make sure I have and be prepared for as I move in?
So there is absolutely a move-in checklist that I always use and that actually I used to share when I was on site. So first and foremost, call your utility companies, whichever ones are designated by the property that you're moving into, and make sure that you have your confirmation numbers and everything is set up. Most likely, you will need that on move-in day. So don't just say, mm-hmm.
And not. Okay, hold on a second. You got to tell me what are confirmation numbers. What are they for? Ooh.
Absolutely. So a confirmation number is going to confirm that, yes, you called into that utility company and you have placed that service in your name. And that is huge. You want to make sure that you write down the confirmation number that the nice person gives you, because typically properties will ask for that confirmation number to ensure that you have indeed put that utility in your name.
Okay.
So that's the first thing that I do, and I make sure I keep it all in a centralized place so I can easily get to it.
I have no clue about that.
Oh yeah. That's a big one.
I can see like, you know, 10,000 moms going, confirmation number.
it's a necessity. Next, I'd like to make sure that I have my renter's insurance in check, and I have, once again, the confirmation that I have renter's insurance.
Okay, so hold on a sec. Before you go there, I'm going to keep bugging you here. I want to step in here.
That's okay.
Why is it, will most landlords ask that you have renter's insurance, and then what does it do for you if you do have renter's insurance?
It completely varies. And so personally, I appreciate renter's insurance because I want to make sure that if something happens, I can replace my valuables. I can replace that laptop that got wet, or I can replace my couch that, you know, I've had and now for some reason it is in disarray. Renter's insurance protects your personal property, and I can't say it enough, make sure that you have it. You never know. Mm-hmm. Just like car insurance. Same concept.
Yeah, my understanding is it's not very expensive.
It's not.
It's very reasonable. In fact, it might be $50 to $60 for the whole year. Mm-hmm. But if something does happen, one, you get liability coverage. And what do you know what liability coverage is? I'm going back to my automobile club days because it was property and casualty. But it basically covers in case somebody files a lawsuit against you because of where you're living.
And yep, that can absolutely be the case.
Mm-hmm. And then the other side of it is, you know what? Things happen with apartments. You know what? They have plumbing, they have heating, they have electrical. Sometimes those things don't work as planned. And somebody above you might have an issue with a drain or a pipe or something like that. It might come into your place and destroy your bed, your couch, or your some of your valuables, and you need to get those replaced.
Absolutely.
And
if, you know, that's why it's at the top of my list, right after that utility confirmation number.
That's perfect. Okay, perfect. I just want to make sure people understood why you have renter insurance. In fact, my understanding is most landlords actually require somebody to have renter insurance to move in because they want to make sure they're not taking on the liabilities. Am I correct in that?
To a certain extent, yes, a lot of management companies absolutely require renter's insurance, and they will tell you what the requirement is. And a lot of times they make it extremely easy for you to attain it either through them. My other thing that I like to look at is sometimes it's good to bundle and save. So sometimes you can add it on to your auto insurance policy and save that way. So definitely shop the market just with everything else and pick what is comfortable for you.
That's wonderful. A lot of people don't realize this because if you combine, because I remember back in my days at the Automobile Club, which was a long time ago, by the way, if you had a homeowner's policy and renter considered that with your auto, you got a 20% discount on your auto insurance. And many companies do that because they say when you have two policies, it's more profitable for them, but it also looks at you as a more of a stable person. So your rates actually go lower beyond that. That discount. So it's kind of a cool thing. So I'm glad you brought it up. Sounds very progressive to say bundle.
I mean, it sticks in the brain. That's all I can say. Not a paid sponsor.
Good advertising. That's all.
The next thing that I absolutely look at is moving companies and how I'm going to move my stuff into the new home. Now, when thinking about that, this is also a good time to get your leasing agent involved and ask, hey, are there any restrictions on how I move in? Do I need to use a freight elevator, which is typically a separate elevator from the normal everyday use one? That's a bit bigger that you can get more stuff in. Sometimes you have to reserve those. So making sure that I have that plan, and then also communicating with the moving company, hey, this is my move-in window. Let's make sure that this all lines up. To make sure that you have a really smooth move-in.
I also want to touch on this. A few people had emailed in about some buildings have like bike lockers, so they don't really want bikes in the apartment, but they're okay providing you a locker. So is that something that obviously you want to look for when you go in, but you know what you want to be prepared for when you do move in?
Absolutely. You want to look for if you need additional storage. Some properties offer additional storage for an extra cost. Some offer that bike storage for additional costs. Another thing that people don't think about, and this is number three on my list, change your address and understand where your packages are coming. Because so many properties do have package rooms or package lockers. You need to sign up for that. I don't know about you, but I do like my delivered packages. And I need to understand how I'm going to pick them up, how they're going to enter the building, and what that process is. And as far as changing your address, that is a must. There's so many reasons why you should change your address. And I know, in the digital age, are you really still receiving bills in the mail? Well, yes, some of them, but more importantly, it's those things that you don't think about that you get in the mail and you open up and be like, well, what is this? It's all of those things. You want to make sure that you do that along with, and here's probably one people don't think about, changing your address for all your other things like credit cards, like subscriptions, things of that nature. Nothing's more embarrassing than moving 18 hours away. Yes, true story, this happened to me. I forgot to update my address on my debit card, and they flagged it for fraud. They were like, you don't live here. What are you doing there? Well, I do live there now, so I do need it. So those are those little things that people just don't think about, but they can have a real impact on your life if you're not thinking about them.
You know what? What's really interesting, I did have somebody write in reference to that about changing, because he, like, once you move, before you move, change your address and give them a date. I'm like, okay. I mean, it was like five rows of change. And basically what happened is she didn't do it like you didn't. But in the first couple of days after her move, the new credit card showed up at the old place. And the person that moved in there was a kind of a nefarious person and used that credit card for stuff. Now, I get it. The credit card company had to charge back the items and all that stuff. And they had to go after that person. But it was a mess that she didn't need. So I was just saying, you know, I think it's really important that you're saying that, because a lot of times people just don't think that. Because, you know, if you're just fresh out of high school or college, you don't know that. You're new.
Absolutely.
You might be 18, but you're still new.
I won't disclose at what age. I forgot. So, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the reality is, if you've never dealt this stuff, you're just new. You just don't. Until you've had that experience, and they're lucky to have somebody like you just walking them through it. So what would be the next thing that people would need to do?
So I think after that, it's really just confirming that the home that you picked is good to go. So when I was in the industry, what I would do is I would set up a walkthrough of the new apartment home with the new resident somewhere between 24 and 48 hours before their move in. And I did this because I wanted them to be able to see and touch and feel and make sure that everything was exactly what they wanted. I can't tell you how many times and how many stories I've heard of people going to move in on move-in day, and it's not exactly what they wanted. Now, it's rare, but every once in a while it does happen. So if your leasing agent hasn't already asked you or invited you to do that, it's just a simple request, and I absolutely recommend doing it. And then once you do move in, I always do just a little spruce clean. Nothing huge, but just a little wipe down, which always makes me feel just a little bit better, bringing everything into the home and setting things up to make it feel like I've always lived there.
Oh, no, I totally get that. Because I had that experience of walking into a place and it was just a dust bucket. And I was like, oh, this is probably not going to be the best experience. And it made me frown about the whole building and the services from the beginning. So it was one of those things where I think it's great that you do that, so people know that you care about them coming in there and wanting to be in that building. So I think that's really, very cool. Tiana, we're almost out of time. Is there any, you know what, you represent a very large, significant national association, the National Apartment Association. Is there any information that the National Apartment Association has on their website that people can go to get more information about moving in, what to look at an apartment and things like that?
So in all honesty, I would direct them truly to whatever community that they are looking to move into. That is going to be where you find the wealth of knowledge. And that is going to help you be the most prepared when making your move and selecting your apartment. I know that's probably a very interesting comment, but it's really the truth, because so many things and so many variables depend on where you want to live and that particular community, and not necessarily with an AA. Now, if you're interested in what's going on in the industry, if you're interested in other areas, or just kind of want to know more about housing, absolutely come to our website. You'll see all sorts of things that really make you an industry expert of what's going on with apartments and apartment rentals and things of that nature. But the best advice I can truly give you, wherever you're looking at moving, study that website. Study it like you study your utility bill. Study it like you study your budget. Study that, because that's going to give you the most information to make an empowered decision.
That's wonderful advice. Tiana, I want to thank you so much for being here today. I know there's a lot of moms like helping out their kids going, okay, this is what we need to do, because they haven't done it in years. I've actually had the pleasurable experience of helping my daughter move 5 times in 7 years through different roommates and different places and moves to different states and all that kind of stuff. So I'm pretty, I want to say I'm usually the muscle. so the pack mule that moves stuff. So I don't know about the other thing. So some of the stuff you said, I'm like, oh my God, never knew that. So I think it's very cool. So Tiana, I want to thank you so much for being here. This has been a pleasure. sharing your opinion on that at viewers@savingwithsteve.us. And we'll look forward to seeing you next time. Stay safe, stay healthy. Thanks again for joining us today on Saving with Steve.
Thank you for joining us on the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio.